So we're in the Sefer Maasiyot, and we left off with Rabbi Meir being tied next to the tree, and this is the third night, and the Rosh Yeshiva said, this is it, this is the last night, this is the test. If the lions don't touch him, then we know he's a complete tzaddik, because in heavens they don't want to hurt him. And Rabbi Meir is sitting there, and it's the middle of the night, and a lion comes tearing through the forest, and he's roaring, and he runs up to Rabbi Meir and opens his mouth, and bites Rabbi Meir and pulls out a rib of Rabbi Meir's. And he bites off a kezias of Rabbi Meir's flesh, and then he runs off into the forest. And so the students come back and ask the Rosh Yeshiva, what do we do now? We left him tied by the tree, now what? And the Rosh Yeshiva says, bring him, because obviously in heaven they wanted it to be considered as though he was consumed by a lion, because in halacha we say eating a kezias is like eating that's called eating. And so he ate off, he took a chomp off of Rabbi Meir, and in heaven they consider it like Rabbi Meir suffered his own, like he'd been consumed. And that's where the Medrash seems to differ from the Rav Nissim Gaon. Meaning we said, even Rav Nissim Gaon, when he plays out the story, he doesn't say the next morning Rabbi Meir didn't know what happened. Rav Nissim Gaon says he slept with her that night. He was drunk, she did everything. But Rav Nissim Gaon plays out the story that he slept with her. The Medrash also says he slept with her. The Medrash doesn't say we don't know what happened. The Medrash says Rabbi Meir didn't know what happened. And then the next morning the story played itself out. So that also seems to make sense as to why in heaven they didn't let him off scot-free. He's a huge tzaddik, but it's not perfect what happened there. So yeah, he was drunk and she took advantage of it, etc. She, you know, it's like you drug a person and then you take advantage of him, okay? So that's what she did to him. But at the end of the day, he's not 100% clean. He's almost 100% clean. So they bring Rabbi Meir back, and the Rosh Yeshiva brings in doctors, and they take care of him. And then the Rosh Yeshiva asks him for forgiveness. That's an interesting part of the story too. Rabbi Meir asked him, tell me what I'm supposed to do. And he told him, this is what you're supposed to do. He said, that's what he's supposed to do. What are you asking him for forgiveness for? But at any rate, that's what it says in the Midrash. And he says to him, praised are you, Rabbi Meir, that you're a complete tzaddik. And when Rabbi Meir was en route to his home, a heavenly voice came out and said, Rabbi Meir merits the world to come. Which again seems to say that beforehand, maybe he wouldn't have merited the world to come. Now that he was willing to endure whatever it took to rectify things, so then a heavenly voice comes out and says, Rabbi Meir is going to merit the world to come. And the Medrash concludes and says, come and learn from this story of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was a complete tzaddik. All of our Mishnayos are based on Rabbi Meir's learning of Mishnayos. And he was a wise man, and he didn't sin with his full capacity about him. He wasn't aware of what was happening when he sinned. But had he not agreed to accept whatever heaven hands out to him, he would have lost everything he built in his life. Here he was, he had amassed a great amount of mitzvos, but he realized that if he committed adultery, it's all over. So obviously, if a person sins on purpose, where he wasn't duped, and he wasn't drugged, He allows himself to do what he wants, so how much more careful he has to be. And this is a medrash about the Ten Commandments. The medrash that quotes the story of Rabbi Meir is a medrash on the Ten Commandments. We know it says, lo sinach. There's a biblical prohibition, not to desire your neighbor's wife, and not to commit adultery. So on that, the medrash expands and tells us the story of Rabbi Meir and how much we have to be careful. We continue with the story of a student who committed suicide. He once went to the bathroom, and he left his tefillin in the hole outside the bathroom. And along comes a woman of ill repute, and takes his tefillin, and goes to the Beis Medrash and says, you know, you guys tell me this student is such a pious guy, you know, when he hired me, he paid me with his tefillin. So he comes out of the bathroom, and he looks for his tefillin, he can't find them. He's headed back to the academy, and everyone's talking. What a bum! Look at what he does! It's not enough that he goes to this woman, he pays her with his tefillin. And when he heard that, He couldn't handle that. He went up to the roof and threw himself off and committed suicide. And the rabbis then made a decree that you don't leave your tefillin outside the bathroom. Even if you're going to the bathroom, wrap them up and take them with you. Obviously, if your dorm room is just around the corner, go put them in the dorm room. We're talking about a situation like him. He was out in the field. He didn't have where to leave his tefillin. So Chazal said, don't leave your tefillin where someone could take them and make up stories about you. After that story, Chazal made an institution. You just grab the tefillin and take them into the bathroom with you. Now, from here we go off on a tangent about people who have to contend with rumors. Chazal say that if there are rumors about a person and really there's no validity to the rumors, so then he has great wages in the world to come. And Rabbi Yossi said, my lot should be with those who are suspected of something that they really never did. And Rav Papa says, you know, they suspected me and I never did what they suspected. The exception is if you have a person who has enemies, so then that could be why there could be rumors about a person. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, Vaykan'unu Moshe v'machane, that Moshe Rabbeinu was held suspect by the Jewish people. Every person told his wife, I don't want to see you alone with Moshe. Think about it. Moshe left his own wife, the greatest prophet of all times. But every person told his wife, I don't want to ever see you alone with that man. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's who they have to worry about. Their next door neighbor, they're not worried. But Moshe Rabbeinu, they're worried. So Chazal say, yeah, because Am Yisrael hated Moshe. Hated him. Hatred. He's the greatest leader, and we see it in our parsha too. And Chazal give us a very harsh warning. Chazal say, HaChoshed B'Chsherim, if someone suspects someone else, and really the person is a kosher person, he didn't do anything wrong, then in heaven they don't let the person end his life without suffering physical suffering. Chazal said on the one hand, a person who was, there were rumors about him, people suspected him, really he did nothing wrong, he has great wages waiting for him. On the other hand, if people suspect someone when he did nothing wrong, they have to realize that God gets into the picture and punishes people for that. Now the Talmud tells us extraordinary things that Rabbi Yossi said, and once we mentioned one of them, so Rabbi Nissim Gaon says, let me mention a few more. Rabbi Yossi said, I want my lot with those that finish Psukei Dezimra every day. And that's why we customarily, we say Psukei Dezimra off of that saying of Rabbi Meir. He meant, and that's why Chabad had this custom, that we finish off Tehillim every day. We don't finish off Tehillim, we just read the last few chapters, the Alelukos, Koran Shemat Alekka, as if we finish off Tehillim every day. Rabbi Yossi said, I wish my portion would be with those who daven mincha just before sunset. Just like you're supposed to daven shachris with the nates, just as the sun rises, you're supposed to daven mincha right near sunset. We don't paskin like that, Rabbi Yossi. We paskin like the Babylonians said. They said, if you wait till just before sunset, then if anything happens, you'll miss it. So don't daven the last 5 minutes before sunset. Go to the regular minyan, 15 minutes before sunset, because if you're going to wait for the last 5 minutes, chances are you'll end up missing it. Rabbi Yossi says, I want my lot with those that die of stomach trouble, because the pious, they die of stomach trouble. It's very painful, and the pain they undergo before they die is a purifier, so that they, in the world to come, they go straight to the Garden of Eden. Rabbi Yossi said, let me die like those who die when they're en route to do a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi said, let my portion be with those who bring in the Shabbos in Tveria. That in Tveria, because of the mountains all around, they think the sun set earlier than anyone else. So that's why they bring in Shabbos earlier in the day. And I should be with those that the Shabbos exits by them like Tzipori, which was on top of a mountain. And because it was on top of a mountain, so the sunset, their sunset was much later than everyone else. So that's why he says, I should bring in Shabbos early and exit the Shabbos late, which is what we do. Tzipori, by the way, is called Tzipori because it's like a bird. It's sitting Tzipor on top of the mountain. He said, let my portion be with those that get the Beis Medrash settled, meaning I'm one of the first people in the Beis Medrash that inhabits the Beis Medrash, and I shouldn't be of those that cause the Beis Medrash to leave, those who say, hey, it's time, you know, the timekeepers, time to end the sheep. And therefore, I, Nisim, says Rav Nissim Gaon, I never stop the shear until someone tells me it's time to stop, or when I know that it's time to daven. Okay, So we'll stop in the middle of the quotes of Rabbi Yosef.